London, Monday, base Nissan, the 15th of March, Harav Elchanan Goldblatt Shlita, Haggadah Shel Pesach.
Bishur says we're into Chodesh Nissan. I plan to talk a little about the Haggadah. Please don't be intimidated by all these notes, and I'm very grateful to Mr. Frankel for printing them. They're only there so that if I say anything utterly outrageous, you can see where I claim to have got it from. Okay, so we start at the beginning and we bring in the Kaira. Every Haggadah I've ever looked at has a picture of the way the Arizal organised the Seder Kaira, and there is a Miut which also have a picture of how the Gaon organised the Seder Kaira. Why they were Zocha to this, I don't know. Of course, wonderful as those two organisations of the Kaira no doubt are, first, I don't understand them, and secondly, they're not in the Shulchan Aruch. There is one way to organise the Seder Kaira which is in the Shulchan Aruch. It's the way the Ramah did, based on the Ma'aril, and it follows a logic which even I can understand. The logic is the klal of ein ma'avirin ala mitzvahs, you don't pass over a mitzvah. So if I have in front of me two mitzvahs which need to be done in a sequence, I organise them in such a way that I get to the first one first, every morning. Tefillin. I have to put in tefillin shel yad before tefillin shel rosh. So I organise the tefillin bag in such a way that the tefillin shel yad comes out first. Because if the tefillin shel rosh comes out first, I would have to go over the shel rosh to get to the shel yad, says the Ramah. There in the first thing that you've got there is number one. Of the various things on the Seder plate, the first one I use is the karpas and the salt water. So next to me is the karpas and the salt water. On the Seder plate of the Ramah, he also had his matzahs, which was the next thing. After the matzahs, what's the next thing you use? The mora and the charoses. So karpas and salt water, matzahs, mora charoses. The base on the zero you don't use at all, they're the furthest away. Now, the great thing about this is not just that it is actually in the Shulchan Aruch, which the other things aren't, and that Reb Moshe Feinstein actually used to organise his Seder Kaira that way. It has the great maila that I understand what he was doing and I can do it without looking at a picture. I'm not chas v'sholom saying that anyone who does it like the Arizal, the Ariyah Kodosh, or like the Gaon should stop doing what they're doing. I just think it's worth knowing that this is how the Ramah did it, and it's from Gedolei HaRishonim in the Ma'aril, and I even understand it. Okay, Kadesh. Kadesh, Kiddush is the first of Dalet Kosos. All the children, and in some cases grandchildren, will come home from school and talk about Arba Lashonos Shel Geula. It will be wonderful, and please tell them how wonderful they are. I have two things to say about this. The first is a Shikul Torah, the Torah Tmima. The Torah Tmima says, why should you drink a kos for a loshon? And he points out that if you have a look at the Rishalmi, number two on your list, Minayin la'arba kosis, Rabbi Yochanan b'shem b'naya, keneged arba ge'ulis. Not arba l'shonis, arba ge'ulis. Not four l'shonis, four stages of ge'ula. Have a look at the psukim, number three. Votzei siyeschem mitachas sivlois. The first ge'ula is no more heavy burdens. We are still avodim, but no more heavy burdens. No more heavy burdens, that's a ge'ula, kedai to drink a kos. What's the next one? Vitzaltiyeschem mi'avodosom, no more avdus at all. Stage one is no heavy burdens, but we're still avodim. Stage two is we're not even avodim at all. That's a second ge'ula kedaya kos. What's the third thing? V'go al tiyeschem ge'ula. Stage one, no heavy burdens. Stage two, no avdus at all. Stage three, ge'ula, but we are not yet am Hashem. And stage four, lo kach tiyeschem li lo'om, vo yisi lochem le'lokim. We become am Hashem and he becomes our God. Not four lashonos of ge'ula, four ge'ulas, four stages of ge'ula. No more heavy burdens, no more avdus at all. Ge'ula and becoming am Hashem. Each one kedai a kos. That's his shtickle Torah. Don't correct the children. Make them feel good. But for the meantime, this sounds to me like emes. The second thing I want to say about arba kosos is that it's only one of four or five different svaras in Chazal. Let's go back to that Yerushalmi number two. At the end of the second line, Shua ben Levi says the four kosas of Paro in the dream of the butler. Now, what's four kosas of Paro got to do with Seder night? I don't know. My theory goes like this. If it is the case that Dalet kosas are there, that we should talk about Golus Mitzrayim, do we talk about how we got in, or do we talk about how we got out? If it's Keneged Arba Geulas, Chazal want us, as we drink those kosas, to think about how we got out. The Sivlus, the Avdus, the Ge'ula. But if he wants us to think, if what they are saying is that it's connected the kosis of the dream, then it's not about how we got out, it's about how we got in. It's about what we've been told a minute ago, about the difficulties between Yosef and his brothers. It's about Mechiras Yosef. We should be talking about Eshes Potiphar. We should be talking about the dream. We should be talking about Mishne Lemelech. The first pshat in the Yerushalmi is that the Dalet Kosis are connected how we got out. And the second pshat is that they're about how we got in. Let us carry on. Reb Levi Omar connected Arab and Malchios. The Dalet Kosis, according to the third pshat in Chazal, are not about Golas Mitzrayim at all. They're to tell us not only Golas Mitzrayim, which tonight we're talking about with Matzah and Morah and Yitzhak Shem Korn Pesach and so on, but also all the other Malchios who have given us a hard time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will at some time deal with them. Rabbanan Amri Keneged Dalet Kosis Pshel Peronis, not just all the various Malchios, but how Midah Keneged Midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with them. And connect on Osset HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lashkes is Israel, and the rewards he'll give to us. So as I say, I have two things to say about Dalet Kosis. The first is the Torah Tmimah's Pshat, it's not Roshona Shogul, it's stages of Gulut. And the second is that this is one of four or five different Pshatim in Chazal about what it is that we're supposed to be talking about and thinking about as we drink those Dalet Kosis. The way out of Mitzrayim, the way into Mitzrayim, not just Mitzrayim, the other Malchias, not just the Malchias, but how they'll be punished, not just how they'll be punished, but how we will be rewarded, and so on. Kadesh Urchatz. Okay, Urchatz. Now, as far as I know, and I'm happy to be corrected, there are two minhogim. There are those houses in which everybody washes for Urchatz, and those houses in which only the person leading the Seder washes for Urchatz. There is a Taz, number 5 on your list, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes with great approval. The Taz says that whenever one eats a washed vegetable or a washed fruit, really one should be washing. The next time you have a grape, if you or your wife have washed it, according to the Taz, you should wash. And it's a tochacha megula that people only wash on Seder night for karpas. They should be washing, at least aseris yimeitshuva, in fact, against you. If that's right, if the reason why we're washing is because karpas is dipped in liquid, then obviously everybody at the Seder should be washing. Can I lead you through the Chai Yodom, number 6? Lacha Shekidesh, after Kiddush, Yitl Yodom, you wash. Medina, Maker Adin, Dina Digimor, Koldov, Shdibula, Bemashka, anything dipped in a liquid needs to Tilis Yodayim. Avil Gav de Bismana Ze Ein Nergin Kain, even though these days no normal people does it. Rak Misha Nerg, Bepricious, Skasidim, and Shemaisa, special people. Beleil Pesach Nergin Little Kedin Natila, Beloi Brocha. On Leil Pesach we do it, Kedei Lasas Heka Litinokus, so the children should ask. So that the children should ask. The children see me. Dipping a vegetable in a liquid and washing. 364 days of the solar year they didn't see that. Daddy, or Grandpa, or Zayda, or whatever you are. I did try to persuade my late father-in-law when he had his first grandchild that her great-grandfather is called an umpapa, but he was not persuaded. So they see me washing, and they ask, what are you doing that for? If that's right, only the person leading the Seder washes, nobody else, right? So depending why it is that we do Urchatz, that is why whether it will be, if we do Urchatz, because we always ought to be washing. Any time we eat a washed cucumber, for that matter, a pickled cucumber, depending what it's pickled in, you'd also have to wash for. In that case, everybody has to wash. If it's Kadesh Yishlu Atinokus, and in my experience, no child ever asks any of the Kadesh Yishlu Atinokus questions, because Baruch Hashem Chinuch has been Nisrabah and Nisgadol, and the children are taught a possibly Higadto Lavicho by Yomahu Lemer. So, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. For the meantime, if it's Kadesh Yishla Tinokus, only the person who is leading the Seder. Karpas. The first thing to note about Karpas is that the Gemara calls it Tibul Rishon. The Gemara does not call it Karpas. It's Tibul Rishon. Why we do Karpas, again, Kadesh Yishla Tinokus, and also in order to solve the Brochus problem. There is discussion as to whether, when we have the Mora, which is of course after Hamoitzi, we should say Adoma or not. So we have Adoma early in the meal, with kavana that Hadomo on the carapace. But basically it's Kadesh Yishlu Atinokus. The first case I found of anyone calling Carapace Carapace is in Ravamram Gorn, and he's not even talking about this. He has a whole list of vegetables, one of which is carapace. And I found Yerushalmi talking about something else. The Yerushalmi number 9 says, what is carapace, Shevin Ahoras? Petrazilian. So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Achronim say that for carapace one should take petrazilian, and we don't know what it is. If you look in the Kitzer, he says petrazilian. If you look in the Chayodim, he says petrazilian. So what do you do when you don't know? This part isn't going on the tape. I hope that's clear. You look in Wikipedia. Now, I remember over 60 years ago, the Sidorim in my parents' house, we had parsley for carapace. There may also be people here old enough to remember parsley for carapace before people discovered toulouin. Have a look in Wikipedia, parsley. The Latin name is petrazilian. So it is clear to me, almost clear to me, there's an oracle who says it means celery, but it's pretty much clear to me that the word carapace actually means parsley. Now, as a matter of fact, the only important thing about carapace is that it should be hardoma. So use any hardoma you like. Use parsley if you've checked it for bugs. Use potatoes, use radishes, use onion, whatever you want. However, if you really want the children to ask, and I would never have the nerve to do this, dip a banana in salt water. I guarantee that any child or grandchild who sees you dipping a banana in salt water will ask, what are you doing, and send for the people in the white coats. Now, sorry?
My school used to do it.
Really?
Really?
Why banana?
Because
it was chaviv. It was chaviv. And what did the salt water do to it?
Because of the sim.
Anyway, talking about Kadesh Yishlo Atinokus, the best I've found, which is number 11 here, is a Pri Chodosh. And the Pri Chodosh is based on a toast in Avi Psochim. I'm going to read the words. Iker HaHekeru B'Tibul Rishon. The Heker is in the first dipping, the carapace. HaKavona, and the intent is La'asu Shinuim, to make changes. Sheyishlo, so children should ask. And from the fact they're asking about this, Yovo Lishtal Bishar Dvorim, they'll come and ask about other things. The Alfal Pisha Ein Lonu Lehoshiv Lishelosom Loma Totli Mikami Suda, even though we don't have a good answer to the question why we're washing before the Suda, all we do is we say, well done, that's a really good question, have a house point or a suite. But says the Pri Chodosh, the Kadesh Yishlo Atinokos is not because we've got an answer. We often don't have an answer. It's just to generate a set of asking and answering. People will remember the famous words of Reb Chaim Brisker, which I'm not talking about because I've got enough anyway. You remember Reb Chaim asked, Manishtana Halayla Azeh, what's the difference between Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? There are a number of answers to that, including the fact that Sadia Gorn thought that there wasn't a special mitzvah, Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're not talking about that. But in the meantime, one of Reb Chaim's answers would has got to be done in a form of Shaila and Tshuva. Kadesh Yishlo Atinokos. We want an atmosphere of asking. Even though we don't have an answer for him, Mitochach Yisoreru, they will be awakened, aroused, Lishol B'Sharishanayim, to ask about the other things. And he quotes the Tos verse. And if you look at the quotation from the Tosfos in the last line, Mashashol Lama Okris HaShulchan, for that we don't have a proper answer. Okay, Kadesh Uchatz Karpas Yachatz, good. Why Yachatz? Number 12, Lo Sechalalov Chomets, you may not eat chomets over the Korban Pesach, Shivas Yom Tokalov Matzos Lechem Oni. What is Lechem Oni? What does Lechem Oni mean? The Gemara says three pshotim. Omar Shmuel, number 13, Lechem Oni, Lechem, the bread, sha'onin olov devorov, over which we say things. You may have noticed in your Haggadah, it keeps saying, uncover the matzahs, cover the matzahs, uncover the matzahs, cover the matzahs, why uncover the matzahs? This, lechem oni, it's the first pshat in the Gemara of lechem oni, is the matzahs over which you say the Haggadah. You say Haggadah over the matzahs. You cover them up whenever you do anything with the kos. Anytime you pick the kos up, you cover the matzahs. That we all know, shalei yireh ha'lechem boshto. But in the meantime, the first pshat in lechem oni is that which lies behind that instruction in the Haggadah to uncover the matzahs. What's the second pshat? Tanya namiyochi lechem oni, lechem shoni vol dvorim harabeh. I beg your pardon, dobaracha lechem oni, oni. Not lechem oni, but the lechem of oni of a poor man. Ma oni dako bipursa, a poor man only has broken bread. And that's why we do yachatz. We break one of the matzahs, because of Yachat, because it should be lechem oni, the bread of the poor, which is broken. He feeds the oven and his wife does the baking. I'm not aware of any halacha or minhag which follows from the third pshat. But the first pshat, lechem sha'onim, that oni is the word onor, meaning to answer or to make a statement, that leads to the whole of the conduct of the Haggadah with the matzahs uncovered. And the second one is yachatz. So you break which matzah? Well, that depends how many you have, doesn't it? Now, everybody knows that we have three matzahs, right? Like the Tosfos and the Rosh say, right? As the Mishnah Berurah explains, Pesach is Yom Tov. Every Yom Tov you have to have Lechem Mishnah, so Lechem Mishnah is two complete matzahs. But we've got to have a broken matzah, so that's three matzahs, and you break the middle one. True, wonderful, marvellous, look in the Rambam. V'lokeach shnei rekikim, you take two matzahs. Have a look in the Torah quoting the Rif. Ein tzorech ela beis matzahs, two matzahs. Which, by the way, Reb Moshe Feinstein also did, and he broke the top one, because if you've got two, you haven't got a middle one. So why is it, I don't know if people remember the Hakdom of the Beis Yosef. The Hakdom in the Beis Yosef, he says that the principle which he's going to follow in Psak is, given that the greatest of the poskim are the Rif, the Rosh and the Rambam, he's always going to follow a majority. That's why we needed a Ramor, by the way, because two of the three were Sfaradim. So the result was that fundamentally the Shulchan Aruch, which is his notes on the Beis Yosef, follows the majority of the Rif and the Rambam, who were both Sfaradim, over the Rosh. Anyway, so in this case, given that two of the three big guns of the Beis Yosef, if one can refer to it like that, say two matzahs, and we have three, and we understand three, what's the logic for two? So you think that look in the Gaon, it's very simple. Let's assume that you are a normal balabos, not a gevir and not an oni, but a normal balabos. They used to use the word comfortable. You're comfortable. Mahot vos zu essen, as they say in Judeo-German. So on a normal Friday night, when you are a comfortable balabos, you have two loaves of bread. And on a normal Yom Tov evening, you have two loaves of bread. And on this Yom Tov, which is Pesach, Nebuch, you're an oni, so you have three. Excuse me, what's the seichel? How can the seichel be that every other Shabbos and Yom Tov of the year I have two challahs or two matzahs, and tonight I've got three? It doesn't make any sense. Therefore, says the Gaon, which I put there at number 17, he says, it's not derech hanias to have more bread on Seder night than you do on any other. And that is the source of the Rif and of the Rambam and of those who up to Gedoli Apuskim in the last door, I don't know about now, had two matzahs, not three. Which, as I say, meant they broke the top one, not the middle one. Presumably, again, because of Ein Mavir and Amit, yes?
So what did they do with Lechem Mishnah?
Lechem Oni overrides it. Lechem Oni overrides it. You cannot do both. You cannot both have Lechem Oni and Lechem Mishnah. According to the Rosh and the Tosis, you can. Here's my Lechem Mishnah and here's my Lechem Oni. According to the Gaon's Pshat in the Rif and the Rambam, you can't have both. So tonight the mitzvah is Lechem Oni, and that overrides.
So practically they have two matzahs.
Yeah.
You cut half, put it for the afikomen.
Yeah.
And the afikomen one and a half.
That's right. And that is what Reb Moshe Feinstein did, and I suggest further questions go to his son Reb Reuven. But for the meantime, yes, you're quite right. There is a case here of conflicting imperatives. You can't do both. So we, who have three matzahs, say, oh yes, we can. And the Gaon says that the Rif and the Rambam said you can't.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think so. I think probably Botla Data.
I think the Rebbe's having 12. Yeah. Nothing wrong with having
more. And on Seder night they have 13. Rabbeisa, I'm happy to talk as much as you like, but there's a little more I wanted to say if we can. So Shmura number 18, Ushmaratim es hamatzas, and that's the source of Shmura matzah. Now, in matzah there are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah saseh, bo erev tochlu matzahs, that on Seder night you have to eat matzahs, and that mitzvah is a mitzvah Seder night only. Then there's nisalav, kol machmetzes lo sochelu, and that issa, the issa of chometz, that issa goes for the whole of the 7 days. There is no question that the halacha is that the din Shmura is a din in the mitzvah saseh. The din ushmaratim es hamatzas is a din in the mitzvah saseh, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and so say Rav Poskim, that you only have to have Shmura matzah Seder night, and the rest of the week, Shmura matzah if you want, not Shmura matzah if you don't want, whatever you like. Please have a look at the last two lines or so of the Rambam in number 19. Ushmartem es last line. Ushmartem es hamatzas kloyme hizaru b'matzah v'shimru osam mikol tzad chimutz. Just a minute. Did the Rambam just say that Shmura is a din in the love? The Rambam says that Shmura is not a din in the mitzvahs asay of be'erev tochlu matzahs. It's a din in the love. Have a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, Simon Chaf. Simon Chaf, not Yud Tes, because we're as usual short of time. Shittas Arifa Rambam Einu Kain. Ledidhu, according to the Rivan Rambam, Achiev Lechel Matzah Shmura, B'chayim Ei Pesach, is the whole of Pesach, because they don't understand that Shmura is a din in the Asay L'Shem Mitzvah. They have a different gears in the Gemara, Shmura L'Shem Matzah, it's a din in the love. It's a din in the Issa Chometz, as that Rambam which I put there quoted, Hizaru Mikol Tzad Chimutz. If it's a din in the love, then there's a din Shmura the whole week. This is not the halacha. The halacha is, like the Shulchan Aruch, that Shmura is a din in the Asay on Seder night. But if you meet people who have the well-known chumra of having Shmura Matzah against Vach, if they are Talmidei Chachomin, they will know that the reason is to be choshish for the Shittas Arif and Arambam, that Shmura is not a din in the Asay, it's a din in the Lav. If it is like the Halacha is a din in the Asay, it only applies on Seder night. But if, like the Rif and the Rambam, learn it's a din in the Lav, then it would apply for the whole week. Which I think is interesting. You have to have a kizayis. Now, at this stage, we become outrageous. This is a footnote from a sefer called the Seder HaOruch, and I'm going to read it to you, because it says an absolutely outrageous thing. It says that the Avnei Nezer said that a kizayis is the size of an olive. I know that this is an extraordinary suggestion. I know that nobody, particularly Yeshiva Bochum, would ever be able to believe such a thing, but that's what he says. Let's read the words. Binyan godel ashir shel kezayis. What's the size of a kezayis? Siper echod mizikne chaside Sokachov lagon Reb Shlomo Zalman Oyebach. One of the zakenim of Sokachov told Reb Shlomo Zalman, Shabal Avnei Nezer, the Avnei Nezer, hoya mechalik kezayisim b'shir cotton, used to give out very small kezayisim. Kshira loel came, they asked him, he said, Shir lotzisidei chobis matzu begodel zayis kipshuto. He said, a kezayis is a kezayis. Not the 27 grams of Rom Chaim Noah, not the 50 grams of the Chazon Ish, not anything else. He said, a kezayis is, you know, it's the size of an olive. He also quotes what the stipler used to do. What the stipler used to do is a thing which people need to know for those people who have difficulty in eating the sorts of kezayisim that most of us are used to. Hagon, the Reb Yisrael Yankiv Kanyevsky, Barkilis Yankiv, Hoyemoyle Shir Kezayis Matzah, Shel Yad, Bechaf Yodo. The stipler held that the palm of his hand is a kezayis. And that is he was Oichel. Oichel Siozayis, Kemidis Kaf Yado, the size of his palm. And I'm not saying anyone should do that. I.
It smells really fantastic. No.
Right to reply. Right to Reb Chaim. The next one I have real makoros for. But right to Reb Chaim, one needs to know that, not for you and me and anyone else who's Baruch Hashem in good health and can eat with Allah Hidurim. But you have someone elderly. You have someone with false teeth. You have someone with medical issues. The first thing is that ask your Rav whether they need two kezayisim or they need one and a bit. Because the source for two kezayisim, though it's in the Shulchan Aruch, is a little bit hard to understand. And secondly, ask what they really think the Shira kezayis, their Raisa, is for someone who's in trouble. Rav Feldman, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, used to quote the Chazon Ish. Now the thing I've photoed for you at the top of page 5 is a photocopy from the Sefer Shira and Shel Torah of the Stipler. And again, I'm going to read it to you. Kezayis matzah, al pi medidas moron zechet, the measurement done by the Chazon Ish, his kabare, it became clear, ki b'chatzi matzah regila shel mechonis, mashin matzah, yesh kezayis matzah berevach. The Chazon Ish measured, and the Chazon Ish found that a half a machine matzah was a kezayis. And that's the edus of the stipler. There is then a footnote which one needs to read. Medidazu, this measuring, was about 25 years before the Sefer was published. Ulam, however, after some years, there was a reason that we had to measure again. And we discovered it wasn't 50 grams. So therefore, it must be not all the machine matzahs are the same. So Rishon, the first Kazai, should be two-thirds of a machine matzah. Not that he's telling you to have machine matzahs. He's not. Just, if you want to measure hand matzahs, every hand matzah is different. Manishtana ha-matzah, zumikol ha-matzahs. While machine matzahs are pretty much standard. So Rav Feldman used to paskin, like this chazon ish, that lemaisa, two-thirds of a machine matzah, is enough for a Kazai's deraisa. Oh dear me, we're going to have to skip as usual. I think I want to tell you three more things. Go to Mishnah number 26. Kana ben Shoyel vimdas ben, and this talks about how you actually do Magid. And we've got there the four questions of Manishtan, or at least three of them. If you have a look, three of them are the same as we have, and one is different. Manishtana halayl, it's asked the chometz matzah question, it asks the morah question. It's clear this Mishnah was written bizman abayis, and it follows the Tana who holds that Chagiga also needs tzli, and it doesn't ask the Mesubin question, but it does ask the Tiv. And then it says this, Maschil b'gnus, you begin with gnus, and you finish with shevach, v'dorish me'ram yovidovi, achiyim ha'kolaban, yudash na'ram yovidovi. Why? Yes, why?
Maschil b'gnus.
Yeah, and the shevach. And why don't we do that? And Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara, who say that the Shevach and the Gnus are Avodim Hoyinu or Ovdei Avodah Zorah. So Reb Dovzi Hoffman, who is the Rosh Yeshiva, the Yeshiva Rabbon in Berlin, also gone with Tzadik Mufla Zakana Harob Cholartos Hamariv, as the Sri Geish called him, Rav Munk's teacher, has a tshuva about this. He says the following. The Mishnah was written Bizman Abayis. That's clear from the Tzli Shalokum Avushal question, isn't it? So Bizman Abayis, as you correctly say, the gnus was Arami Ovidovi, and what was the shevach? Vayevienu el amokam azeh. We're all there in the Beis Hamikdash. Vayevienu el amokam azeh. What greater shevach than that? Arami Ovidovi v'gadorish at gagomer's kol ha-parsha kula. Now, if you are Rav and Shmuel in Sura or Pumpadis or Nardo, wherever it is, since when is Vayevienu el amokam azeh shevach? Even in wonderful Golders Green, we cannot say Vayevienu el amokam azeh is a shevach. Memele bizman abayis, the Mishnah goes kashura, genai, shevach, harami yovidovi, vayivinu ala mokam zeh, to the Beis Hamikdash. Wonderful, but bizman azeh, though Mishnah lo zozom in komo, and it's still there in the Haggadah, but Rav and Shmuel in Bovel, Rav actually initially in Eretz Yisrael, but Rav and Shmuel in Bovel gave us a different gnus and shevach because the old one wasn't true anymore. How the shiurim changed? So everybody knows where the big shear comes from. It's a tzlach in Arvei Pesachim. It seems to be something of a contradiction. There's one way to measure a revius, but by virtue of volume. Etzba'ayim, al-etzba'ayim, al-rum, agodal, and the volume of a few fingers and thumbs. And it's also supposed to be the displacement of an egg and a half. So the tzlach discovered that the displacement of an egg and a half wasn't nearly as big as the fingers and the thumbs. So he said the eggs must have shrunk. Okay, good, fine. And that's the beginning of the Stikl Torah about Miskatnu Ashurim. Reb Lezer Fleckless, the Baal Tshuva Me'Avor, was a dayan on the Beis Din of the Noida Behuda in Prague. And Reb Avadia quotes a story quoted by the Tshuva Me'Avor, which is there in number 13. Last three lines. Lefi Anias Daiti Nirash, and maybe Rebbe Yago, and Choshu Lefi Agodel Shalom, he says his Rebbe, the Noida Behuda, was measuring his own thumb. He was the tallest man in town. Not just he was the tallest man in town. And his hands, his thumbs, were twice as big as any normal person. As anyone who was zochet to know him, and I was a dying on his based in, everyone knew that the Noda Behuda was bigger than anybody else. That's why when he measured two fingers on two fingers by 1 5 7/10 thumbs, he came out with a bigger shear. And I told him this. Rebbe, I said, you've come out with this niskat and washirim because your fingers are big. So, how did the Noda Behuda respond to this? Venina liba rosha v'sachak, and he nodded and laughed. Now, this you really must not tell any of the people who are very mappid on the shiurim. But an aid ria, one of the poiske adur, the Tshuva Me'ava said, I told him you came out with this because your hands are big. And the Noda Behuda just laughed. Do I have another minute?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so the Meshech Chochmah, you remember that personally I'm going to try Mikra Mibe Osser, and on this the Meshech Chochmah has a shtickle about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to be Muchta B'Nimusim. He was very, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have good Midas, good Niyot. 600,000 and something men, about 2 million people, most of them Aniyim, until such time as they've asked the Egyptians for anything, absolutely poor, and they all of them have to have roast lamb ready for Seder night. Mishchu Mishieshlo, Chu Mishainlo, he says it was the Achrayus of the Ashirim at that time from Be'osah to make sure that every one of the 2 million or so people in Klal Yisrael had for Korban Pesach. Moz Chitin, Kimcha de Pischa, call it whatever you like. As far as the Meshech Chochmah is concerned, that began with Mekcho mi Be'osah. That was the moment when such Ashirim as there were required to take care of everybody else for the first Pesach. I wish everybody a wonderful Yom Tov. No. Because I don't know how to deal with the bugs.
Can you not buy a bug free of parsley?
That's an